If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and/or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool, so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Hello, everybody. We have a very special guest today. Ernesto provided psychological services for the U.S. State Department schools in Colombia and Saudi Arabia. He founded ER Photo in 1988, commercial and fine art photography. His work is in the curator's collection at MoMA, New York, and on exhibit in the Smithsonian. In 2002, Ernesto founded the Serene View to bring the science of viewing calming nature landscapes to the hospital patient bedside. Serene View curtains are installed in over 3,500 hospitals in the U.S., Europe, and Australia. He is the founder and executive director of Nature in the Classroom, a 501c3, to bring the science and the benefits of nature views to education settings. Without further ado, Ernesto Rodriguez. Hello, everybody. We are here with a very, very special guest, Ernesto Rodriguez. And this is, if you are listening to our amazing conversation, we are also going to be looking at some beautiful photos. And I'm going to let Ernesto explain what these photos are and where he's from. But just want to let you know that this will be at Outdoor Classrooms Tour and Talk, which will go inside our Circle membership community. So welcome, 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 Ernesto. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for bringing light to our story and what we're trying to do, because it's something that has been done before. You need a lot of background exposure for people to understand what we're doing.
So for listeners who may not know your work, can you tell us the story behind Nature in the Classroom?
Yes, I was trained originally as a school psychologist, and then I became a photographer, and then after that I became a park ranger where I live here in Catalina Island. And when I became a ranger, it exposed me to the research of attention restoration theory that was developed in the 80s at the University of Michigan. And they basically have verified empirically for 50 years that when we view trees, whether it's you're looking at a real tree or you're looking at a photograph of a tree, it calms you and helps you focus. So when I dug into this research, I thought, my word, why isn't this being used in schools? There's approximately 8 million kids in portable classrooms, often without outside views. There's a lot of schools with no windows, and they're building schools now because of the violence that has been coming up over the years. They're building windowless schools, or the windows are way up high where you can look up at the sky, but you don't really have a view outside. Mm. The other thing that helped me make this decision to put tree ceiling murals in classrooms is the 330-300 rule, study that came out of Spain. And they found out that when people have views to trees out windows, at least three trees, the neighborhoods have 30% greenery or live 300 meters from a park, that those neighborhoods tend to have better mental health than neighborhoods that don't. And all this, I thought, well, why why isn't this being used in schools? So I developed a ceiling tile that is made from recycled goods, plastic, and it meets the fire codes. And we set off to do a study, just a pilot study, at the school here where I live, which is part of Long Beach Unified. But it took me three principals before one principal saw what I was doing and said, let's try it. And the results were just immediate. Mm. And the kids absolutely responded. Kindergartners saying, we did it in K through three. We did the pilot study. And kindergartners saying things like, no, this helps me want to help nature. Mm. And we feel like we're outside. You know, one kindergartner said, it calms me up, which is essentially the science. After that, we launched the nonprofit, and we're in 9 states now, 20 school districts, and helping about 10,000 plus kids. So we're looking to go 10 times that.
Oh, I hope you do. So first, I just want to let our listeners know that we are looking at a picture of you with a ceiling frame that's going to go up on the ceiling. And it's really, I mean, it's incredible. It's really that beautiful when you look up at the sky and you're under a tree. It's truly real, very real looking. And so what inspired you to focus specifically on classroom ceilings? It's very unique.
Well, having been a school psychologist for many years, you don't touch a teacher's walls. They cut your hands off. And I thought, well, the ceiling, I've never really seen anybody do anything with a ceiling. See, maybe put stuff on the lights, but, we can't do that because it darkens the room too much. So I thought, well, the ceiling tiles haven't been touched. Why don't we develop a tile that we can print on that's a smooth tile that gives you a high resolution image that you can look at.
Wow.
And the images that we print are basically about a 2 gigabyte file, super high res, because in order for this to work, it has to look real.
It does look real.
And we print, basically it's one ceiling is an assembly of 46 images that have been put together digitally to give you a tree canopy that is super realistic, super sharp.
It's just beautiful. So now the picture that we're looking at is in a beautiful library. So can you tell me the science behind this work? So much of your work is grounded in what you said, attention restoration theory. Can you explain that concept to our listeners and educators?
Sure.
Because they might
attention
not understand
restoration
what that
theory,
is.
Like I said, was developed at the University of Michigan. And it has been verified empirically. And they did studies of looking at how your body responds to being in a natural environment versus a man-made environment. And they've done studies where showing people images of nature versus pictures of an urban environment. Nature is defined by a scalo pattern called a fractal, which we are biologically wired to look at and interpret and make sense of, whereas city dwellings are basically parallel lines. So when they showed pictures of nature versus city imagery, people were able to more quickly interpret a natural scene than they could a city scene. And they further took the studies and narrowed it down to just looking at trees. Like I said, the natural environment is defined by a fractal. Fractals define coastlines, they define clouds, they define trees, and they define forests. And it's what we're biologically geared to look at. So,
interesting. So that research can tell us about that connection between nature and learning. Does that help us connect?
So what we have found in the 20 school districts now, kids come in and they settle down quicker.
Mm.
They settle down quicker and they're paying attention and they're more focused. So teachers have more time to teach. And we've been trying to ascertain how much more time do they have. And it's roughly 5-10 minutes more per day per class that they have, which is significant when you look at a whole school year.
So I've heard trees talk to each other, and there's all incredible things about trees. So why are you choosing trees? And why do these, well, I think we're also speaking to the choir, but why does this have such a powerful effect on our brains, our children's brains, and so on and so forth?
Well, trees are, and there's all kinds of studies out that show that kids playing outside right now is significant to their well-being. And a lot of it just has to do playing under a tree.
Yeah. It's
so
amazing.
It makes sense
so
to bring
simple.
This into the classroom.
So simple. But it's remarkable. And again, for our listeners, the pictures that we're looking at are absolutely incredible. And even, I think myself, just looking at the tree canopy in a library of this huge extent, even by looking just at the picture, I feel calmer.
And it's funny you say that, because the librarian, after we put these in, said the kids now like to sit under the tree to come in and do whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. Where before they were just kind of spread out, but now they like to sit under the tree.
Together. So that sort of brings the community together.
The counselor in a school in Cincinnati did a Likert scale measurement of kids in the classroom and what they say. And she said a lot of kids just don't want to leave the classroom now. I mean, they just say they come in, we don't want to leave.
Yeah, it makes them feel so good.
These are third graders.
Yeah, that's great. So have there been any findings that surprised you as you've studied the impact of nature? Have you just been surprised? And I'm sure, I mean, your story after story, but any others that you've really been surprised?
Well, like I said, the first study that really has been done in Cincinnati the beginning of this year. And she found that the kids are more, they come in and the teacher has more time to teach. And the kids express positive comments about being in the classroom now, mm-hmm. which is what we've heard from a lot of schools that we've done. We did a school in Indiana for kids that are incarcerated, working on their GEDs. And they found out that after about the judge that runs the school contacted me about a month after we had the ceilings in and said, hey, this really works. We've seen a significant drop in behavioral issues since the ceilings were put in. And that to me is the greatest testimony.
In the schools that you're working with, and even what you just described, do you feel like they're not going outside? Do you feel like the ceilings are in place of going outside? Do they have the opportunity to go outside?
No, they do go outside, and it varies. Some schools really have access to greenery in their schoolyards, but a lot of the inner city schools that we've done do not. I mean, they're primarily asphalt environments that are coming into. And there are organizations working to change that right now.
Yeah,
to bring greenery back to inner city schools. But it's difficult. There's a school that we did in East L.A., and they have a garden from kindergarten through fifth grade. All the kids participate in that. And they come back in, and they have the ceiling to support the teachings that they're doing with the garden. So it's almost a verification of what they do outside.
Yeah.
So it's not a solution to not go outside, but more of a support for going outside, bringing that back into the environment.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Like I said, the kids settle down quicker for teachers.
Yeah, and that's huge. And again, now we're in another very beautiful classroom. Big signs, is great graphing, but then you have this incredible tree canopy with just a bit of sun coming through, which just that makes me want to lie on the floor there. So again, changes that you report, that any other changes that once this tree canopy mural has been installed, and you shared some students' comments.
One of the biggest issues facing educators now is what's left over from the pandemic. Mm. And the pandemic has left about 20% of kids with anxiety. And kids have to deal with being in the classroom and having their outbreaks with anxiety. And this one school that we did here in California found out that taking the kids and sitting them under the tree calms them instantly.
Yeah.
And due to the constraint on teachers and school psychologists, they have that has not increased. They've got to deal with the issues that are happening in the classroom with what they've got right then and there. So the trees really help kids stay at their desk. Teachers are applying mindfulness activities that kids can do at their desks. And if they're feeling like they're going to have an attack, yeah, I know, because I have anxiety and I deal with it with breathing, and it just simply works to be able to look. She said the teachers see kids at their desk, they're looking up, doing their breathing mindfulness exercises, and then they continue being in class. So it doesn't disrupt the class. It allows it to continue.
Yeah, it's incredible. So just, student behavior, attention, emotional regulation is all so important. Yeah. It's so creative to really think about. We talk about in the world of education, like bringing the outdoors in, like the actual sticks, but never really thinking about this large of a project, like to actually put the images of the pictures. So do you feel like the teachers themselves have had an impact on these incredible images in their classrooms?
Absolutely, especially teachers that are in windowless schools. They comment on the fact that not only are the kids more relaxed, but they are as well. I had this one principal came in when we first put the ceilings in, and she actually laid down on the floor and looking up, she goes, "So this is what you meant." So, and this is the issue that the biggest problem that we face is because it's never been out there before. People can't really picture what we're doing until they actually see it and actually see it work. And it works instantly. And the ones who get it right away are the kids. You don't need to explain it to them. They get it. Yeah. I mean, they get it right away.
And that's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to make this an outdoor classrooms tour and talk. It's not necessarily a specific outdoor classroom, but it's a concept that, again, when you said people don't really visually get it until they see it. And so, again, I encourage you to join us in the circle and see these images, because they are remarkable. And it's such a testament to all everything that we talk about here at Outdoor Classrooms, and that the impact of nature-based education, outdoor classrooms. But have you ever thought about putting nature on your ceiling? It's remarkable.
It brings in what they've been learning outside. It brings into the classroom.
Yeah.
This started before, and what we're looking at now is a hospital in Colorado. And back in 1998, I was up doing a photo shoot in the Redwoods. And I'm sitting waiting for the light to come between the trees and sitting there. And I just visited a friend in the hospital. And I thought, and hospitals have always made me tense. And I'm sitting there waiting for the light, and I'm thinking, and I felt so calm and serene in the forest. And I thought, why can't hospitals feel like this? And I thought, my God, if we can put this, bring this scene into the hospital, then it might help people. And I come home and I run across the research from Dr. Roger Ulrich. And Dr. Ulrich found out that, and he did this research in the early 80s as well, as the same time as the research that was being done in Michigan. And he found that when people had pictures, had views out windows to nature and trees, they had lower blood pressure, they needed less pain medication, and they got out of the hospital sooner by half a day. And I thought, my word, I mean, this research has been verified for over 50 years, empirically verified. I thought, why aren't hospitals using this?
Yeah.
And I thought, the thing that is most restrictive is that curtain that goes around the patient bed. Mm-hmm. So if we could put an image on that, and I thought, well, let's see if we can do that. And at the time in the late 90s in Las Vegas, they were building all these boutique casinos. So every major artisan that was out from the planet was there in Las Vegas. And I figured somebody there will know how to do this that I want to do. It took me knocking on 3 doors before somebody said, come on in, I can make you a prototype.
Wow.
And the prototypes that we did are still up in a hospital here in on Catalina, where I live, which is, 1998, 2000.
Incredible.
Thereabouts.
So can you describe this curtain that we're looking at?
This is a scene in the Tetons.
Ah.
It's serene. You're looking at the things that make it serene are water and trees, and greens and blues are the colors that primarily calm you down.
Yeah. So does any of your, because you were a photographer.
Yeah, I was a photographer.
I think, you can't say was. I think once you're a photographer, you're always a photographer, right?
I'm doing trees now. But I mean, I got work in the Smithsonian and the Museum of Modern Art in New York, stuff that I did commercially in fine art.
Incredible.
But it doesn't compare to the feeling that you get of helping people, which is where I originally started as a psychologist. And it's funny, and I had this epiphany just recently. I'm doing what my grandfather did. I grew up in Cuba, and he was a muralist with the Cuban Railroad, and doing murals. And now I'm doing murals on the ceiling.
It's incredible.
But it's a joint coming together of my 3 careers, which
that would be photography, psychology,
and being a park ranger.
And the park ranger, yes, of course. Yeah.
So incredible. I spent a lot of time outside.
Yeah. So do you find that nature in the classroom is I sort of alluded to this before, is complementing outdoor education? So even as a park ranger, do you feel like this work is complementing the work that you are doing even as a park ranger or outdoor classrooms
It is. It is a complement to outdoor education. And it is not a substitute to go outside, but a complementary part of bringing that outside back indoors and keeping that in mind as kids come back indoors. I just recently ran into one of the kindergarten teachers here in town in the market, and she just told me that the kindergartners are just in love with it. And they spend time outside and play, but they come back in, and she says you can see them looking up, taking a breath, relaxing.
Yeah.
And kindergartners.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think our environment speaks so much to how we respond to it. And I know there's a lot of research just in clutter in the environment or, things like just too much stuff. But these pictures are so, and these images are so incredibly calming. It's incredible. But what would you say to educators who feel that children need more real nature experiences, not just images of nature?
I encourage this all the time. It's like kids need time outdoors. There's no substitute for that. There's a school in Texas that tripled outside time, and it basically wiped out ADHD.
Wow. That's music to my ears.
I mean, the research is out there. The results are out there, and it takes so much time for people to the mainstream to pick this up and use it.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't know what's blocking people, because it just is.
It just takes a long time when something new is introduced. When the electric car was introduced, which makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, it's like the electric car is here. When are you buying? And that defines a bell-shaped curve of when people buy into a new idea that's never been done before. And 2% of the population, for whatever it is, will have to have it right away. And then it takes another 16% of that population of the first responders to utilize that before it goes into the mainstream. So, and depending on what it is.
I never thought about it that way.
It generally takes about 20 to 25 years to go through those first 2 phases before things become mainstream.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's incredible. We're going to have to speed it up a little bit because we got Mother Earth. Mother Earth needs us.
Mother Earth does need it.
So we have, I love, love, love this picture. So you have a bunch of students sitting on the floor, kind of laughing and pointing to their ceiling. And yeah,
these are first graders in Kentucky.
Yeah. Can you describe this picture and this scene and what's happening?
And what's so funny is people find us after, and this was my motivation for getting out and doing more podcasts. Somebody will see a podcast and then they'll contact me and say, how do we get this into our school? And then when we have funds, we give them away. Otherwise, we sell them at pretty much at cost. We are a 100% volunteer organization. So there's nobody making any money on this. So this gal saw our story in, I think it was Nice News. And she said, how can we get one of these in our school? And she contacted her principal. The principal approved it. And she did a fundraiser with her parents and they put them in. And these kids are just, they're hilarious.
Look at them all. They're just laughing. And
first graders do not, kindergartners, first graders, they don't pull anything. They'll be right up front and tell you right away, you know, what they like.
It's the best age.
Yeah. And she said the kids absolutely, you know, come in and they love it.
Wow.
Most teachers, that's what they say. The kids have nothing but positive things to say.
So do you feel like these images that they now are in a classroom with this beautiful nature canopy? I mean, what more could you want? Do you think that is enhancing and sparking their curiosity for learning about the natural world? Do you think they want to then become, maybe we might get a few more environmental stewards?
There is. It is promoting environmental stewardship in quite a few of the kids. Not all of them, you know, but
yeah, of course.
If you can do it with, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's significant.
Yeah.
A kindergartner wrote that it makes her want to help nature.
Yeah.
This is a kindergartner. So I think it's especially significant with younger kids.
And but, yeah, I think. Yeah, go ahead.
With high school kids, we've done some high schools. I mean, this one, she's an 11th grader, summed it up. She goes, it takes the grr out of the room.
But, you know, I think there are a lot of kids that would want that peaceful environment.
Yeah.
And I think when our class sizes are getting bigger and bigger, and then we only have one teacher, it's very, very challenging. And so to somehow make such a dramatic environmental, it's almost like another teacher's in the room. It's almost I like speaking about when we go outside, the environment and nature becomes the third teacher. And yeah. So it feels the same for me, even when I'm looking at these images, that it's helping the teachers. It's becoming another teacher in the room.
That's exactly what it does. It helps the teacher teach.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, teachers are now in using mindfulness exercises to help kids sit in the classroom.
Yeah.
So this one teacher in Colorado told me that's what she eventually did with it, with her kindergartners, is develop mindfulness techniques that they could use.
And we're desperate for that. I think kids are desperate and they really, really want to. And I often feel like they can't necessarily articulate what they need.
Right.
And so when we know what, if educators and the adults, we all know, and parents even, what we know, what the research and how well this connection to nature is on ourselves, on our children, the health and well-being of all of us is going to increase. But the mental health crisis in the world today is so bad that this just seems like another answer and solution.
It's super easy to do. You just swap out the tiles and the tiles are pretty inexpensive.
Yeah.
In the scheme of things for what the results that you get.
So you told a story about a teacher that really tapped into her community and created that community partnership so she could fund and get some of these tiles on her. Can you describe why that community partnership is important?
I think it's important to keep the thought of being outdoors and what outdoors, the benefits of it. And to bring that back into the classroom, especially most of the schools that we've done don't have windows.
I think that's just amazing to me.
You know, a lot of schools that were built in the 70s don't have windows. They were built as a, like a big
jail.
You know, the center of the activities and things came out from that in a radius.
Yeah.
And but no windows at all. And
I can't even imagine, even as an educator, like being in a space like that all day long.
Yeah.
So,
and I've worked in schools around the world, and most of the schools, even down in South America and in the Middle East and in Europe, all have vast views to the outside, but not here in the U.S.
You would think we would be a little wiser.
Especially what? With 50 years of science behind it.
I know. So what advice would you give schools wanting to create not only an outdoor classroom, which is what we talk about here on this podcast, but also indoor outdoor classrooms like what you're creating here?
Either create a garden outside or create a garden in your classroom. Bring plants in. Like I said, greens and blues are colors that calm you. So if you can incorporate that into your classroom in any way, especially a garden, which is easy to do. And the kids, it's incredibly interesting to see how fascinated kids are. There's also a couple bacteria in soil that are good for your health. You know, having kids actually get dirt on their hands is really, really advisable.
Yes. Even if you don't have an outdoor environment to have kids dig, that could be, even if it's in a pot. Or something so simple that they, even if it's a pot or something that you bring inside, that they can just put their hands in dirt. There is so much research behind that as well. Thank you for sharing that. That is
And then for actually caring for it. So that there's a whole mindset of caring for live plants.
Yes, absolutely. The empathy. They're learning.
Empathy, exactly.
And caring, and they're thinking outside of themselves. But then there's also, you know, mathematics and all sorts of, you know, curriculum things that you can incorporate in as well. So with the future vision of your program, what has been maybe your most memorable installation so far?
I have two that jump out at that question.
Oh, good.
And one of them was this photograph that you're showing here was one of the kids that's in that. I was in photographing the classroom afterwards, and he was waiting for his mother to pick him up. He was working with one of the aides, and he turns to the aide and goes, who's that guy? And the aide says to him, she says, he's the man to put the tree in your classroom. And this really, I don't know how I can describe this, but it's like all noise or sound, and everything was off, and it was just him and me looking at each other, and the whole world stopped. I mean, I'm talking about literally stopped. And he looks at me, he goes, "Thank you."
And oh, it's just like,
oh. And the other one was this kindergartner in Colorado. When I asked her what she liked about her, I was sitting on, I made the mistake of sitting on the floor with the kindergartner. They just joked. And I asked this little girl in front of me, I said, "Well, what do you like about having a tree in your classroom?" And she was sitting on her calves, and she kind of straightens up a little bit, and she flicks her hair back. She looks at me, she goes, "It calms me up." So that just summarizes the science, really.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So you had mentioned how you want to grow nature in the classroom. Can you tell us where you might hope to see it in 5 years from now?
A year from now, I'd love to see it. Like I said, we're serving about 10,000 kids right now in 20 school districts. It'd be fun to double that.
Yeah. So this is one of my missions, is to, for every child in every school to have access to an outdoor classroom. And so it would be very cool for every indoor classroom to have access to your tree canopies. I think that would be absolutely incredible. if every child could experience one thing from your work, what do you want that to be?
Creativity and imagination.
Oh, I love that.
And I had this one, he was a fifth grader, and he when I asked him what he liked about the ceiling, he goes, they're like roads to a great journey.
Oh, I just got goosebumps.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Roads to a great. Yeah, that could be a name of a book.
The branches to him, they look like roads to a great journey.
That's I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Roads to a great journey.
What's been interesting over the last 5 years, and I'm sure COVID had a lot to do with it, is the growth in outdoor classrooms. And that's been absolutely incredible.
That's my next question. What gives you hope when you think about the future of education?
They've got to bring the outs. They've got to spend more time outside and bring the outside in.
Yeah.
And it's funny because in a lot of inner city schools, they've cut time outside, period.
That's going to help the children.
Yeah.
They think that that's a luxury.
It's a necessity.
It's a necessity.
Yeah.
And I think that's the message we have to keep saying over and over. Yeah. And how we can incorporate the curriculum and whatnot, so you don't even have to go inside.
Right.
But if you are inside, wouldn't it be fantastic to have these tree canopies?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so beautiful. So if you could change one thing about education today, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. I think spending more time outside.
Fantastic.
Yeah. As I mentioned, the school in Texas tripled recess time and cut ADHD to almost nothing.
Oh, it's amazing. So if you were to give one seed of inspiration to an educator, to a parent, what would that be?
I think spend time with your kids outdoors. Take them outside. Take them on trips where you get out into the natural world, because the natural world is where we have evolved from. And something happens inside our brains that resets who we are when we spend time in nature. And I had this experience with that photograph that you showed of the Tetons. We had been photographing these scenes, and we'd been out in the wilderness for 10 days now. And the only thing I can say is that it was like a switch was flipped on my brain and my friend that was helping me. And we were no longer separate from the environment is the only thing I can say. It was just like we belonged there. We were, and the other animals recognized that. The school of elk that we walked in, people were, you can't walk there with a school of elk. I said, well, I can show you pictures that we did. And there was this whole different way that we interpreted and looked at the environment around us after we'd been out there for 10 days. So I say to parents, get outside with your kids and spend a reasonable amount of time, because it helps keep the brain feeling fresh.
And it can be at a local park. It can be in your backyard. It can be, and it does not have to be fancy at all. It can just be, it doesn't have to be for a long, long period of time. But I think the routines and the systems of getting out there, and that's what we talk about at Outdoor Classrooms, is how do we do that? So that's incredible. Is there any final thoughts that you would like to share before we say goodbye?
No, really, really, thank you for having me on and being able to discuss getting kids outside.
It's I could talk about it all day long, but I absolutely, I admire how you brought all your interests into this project. And I really will keep an eye out in both the medical world and the classrooms to see how many ceilings are starting to grow in our communities. So
I'll keep you posted.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Victoria.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you're ready to take the next step and dive deeper into our communities, here's how you can get involved. First, you can join our one-hour workshops. These happen every month with fresh and exciting new topics each time. It's a great way to get a taste for what we offer. If you enjoy the workshops, you can become part of our Circle membership community. And this will give you access to not only all the new workshops that happen every month, but it will also give you access to our entire workshop library, which is growing. It will also give you access to our monthly roundtable discussions. And also, as a member, you receive exclusive discounts on all our programs. It's wonderful, wonderful family. The final step, if you would like to dig deeper into our community, is to join our Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. This program is for those educators who are eager to dig even deeper into our programming, and it's the perfect next step. If you want to learn more about each of these programs, or you're not sure where you need to start, or any questions that you might have, schedule a one-on-one discovery call with me, Victoria Hackett. I will put all of that information in the show notes. You can also go to our website at www.outdoor-classrooms.com to learn more information. We can't wait to welcome you into our community. Until next time.